bless the Lord, that Oswald Chambers wrote. I must confess that probably that man's writings and ministry were used to my blessing more than any other writings that have ever been written outside of the scriptures. And I commend him to you if you don't know him. He once said that if God is hurting anything in you, he wants to hurt it to death. That was a rather different story from the sort of sympathizing Jesus. Hallelujah. That's his love. He wants to hurt it to death so that it dies and we don't get hurt anymore. And that's a marvelous thing, because we're all born with hurtful things inside us. And we have to be born again so that God can take them out. And that's a marvelous and glorious truth. And I want to say to our precious friend who's just prayed, if he comes and has a talk with us just for a short while, bring to you a word which is the opposite to the word that Norman has brought. Not contradictory at all. But, as you know, there's a North Pole, as I'm often reminded, and there's a South Pole. And it needs them both for the world to turn on it. This is why you always will find the two great polemics or opposites in Scripture. And you know, it was wonderful to listen to what Norman had to say about the movings of God in West Africa. It's marvelous to preach to thousands of people. Marvelous. It's absolutely thrilling. And to see them respond, and to not care tuppence about whether it's Friday or Saturday or Tuesday, and just sit and drink in the Word and make their great responses to God. It's wonderful. I, by way of contrast, have just come back from Scandinavia. The further you go north, the harder it is. Think of poor dear Andy that went out from the same fellowship from which John Bow went out to Africa. Think of the work in Scandinavian countries where fullness of bread and idleness and pleasure loving has killed all this spirit that will lie on a plank in order to receive the word of God, that is so bound up in materialism that it has no ear for the gospel, for what do I want? I can be such a fool as to have my barns so full that I want to pull them down and to build larger ones and say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat and drink, and so on. It always comes like that. And when you think about these two great opposites, I'm not saying God didn't bless in Scandinavia, but what I mean to say is that there are two great ways in which God moves. And you and I must not get mixed up about these and think, as sometimes we are prone to do, that different things suit different temperaments. That if you have one of these temperaments that's outgoing and jump up in the air and shout hallelujah twice before you touch the ground, or whether you're one of these people who are constantly sitting down looking inside and can't do anything. And we say, well, now, if you're this kind of temperament, that's the way you go. And if you're this kind of temperament, that's the way you go. It's nothing to do with temperaments. It's to do with spiritual truth. The first one has been amply illustrated to us by Norman in a wonderful way. It's great to go where my dear friend Horace Banner once wrote to me from the Amazon. He said, shall I leave here and go where the fish are biting? You know, where you don't have to bait a hook and sit for weeks before there's any result. Or shall I stay here? I wrote back and said, stay there, Horace, brother, stay there. He was one of the pioneers, you know, in that great Amazonian basin that enabled people like the great Fred Elliot and all these that went in to go in. He preceded them. We hear the great stories of the reaping. We love them. There is another law of the Spirit. Let us consider it for a moment and put them both together, and we shall have the full picture. Israel was a country that had been visited by God with men of the Spirit of God and men of the Word of God throughout its history. Its history was a succession of ups and downs. They were either on the peak of revival, as say under David leading to Solomon, or else they were going down into the deep. They would come up again under Josiah, under Hezekiah. They would go down under a Rehoboam. And so on. And you may read the great truths in the Bible. God would raise up an Isaiah. He'd raise up a Jeremiah. He would raise up a great prophet of the Lord. And there would be a great time of spiritual revival. By the time the Lord Jesus came onto the earth, a spiritual revival was in progress. John Baptist had been preaching out, as you know, on the banks of Jordan in the wilderness. He was a burning and a shining light, and as Jesus said, Israel were prepared and willing and rejoicing for a season in that light. He was followed with his great annunciation of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, by the greatest preacher of that gospel that's ever been on the earth, namely the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Israel went through its greatest spiritual revival under the Lord Jesus Christ. It was absolutely marvelous. There's no doubt about it. There isn't a man or a woman in the room but would have loved to have been on the earth and listened to Jesus and followed Jesus and be healed by Jesus and be taught by Jesus and be fed by Jesus and be led by Jesus and see the vast multitudes responding. Last night it was. Not so very late, because we intended to get up fairly early this morning, which we did. My wife read her Bible and she made a remark about a certain scripture. That is, Jesus saying he was not sent save unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And occasionally she consults her husband about these things. She doesn't need to very often, but she She asked me what it all meant, and I tried to tell her that while Jesus was alive on the earth, he was the minister of circumcision to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And that's, I only need to say that to her. She didn't need any more explanation. Would you need any more explanation when I'd said that? I quoted a scripture to illustrate the Gospels. Like you know, you quote the Gospels to illustrate the Old Testament. You quote the Epistles to illustrate the Gospels. I hope you understand that, because that comes in the Roman letter, chapter 15, the verse I've just quoted, that whilst Jesus was on the earth, he only ministered to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you see that? Ah, it was a wonderful time. And I think we may read, say, in John 4, if you need to turn to the scripture. By the way, I hope you agree with me that going to Africa has done something tremendous for Norman's voice. Amen. We'll send him again. It's not the only thing that's really... Oh, you know, I think we can do away with the mic from now on. It was great. Hallelujah. That's it. You just keep preaching till it comes. You never lose anything by preaching, you gain. I'm telling you the truth. In John chapter 4, you will remember, we've already had quotations from this chapter, and it's as the Lord has finished dealing with the woman at the well. His disciples come back, and they prayed him. Look in verse 31. Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. But you see, they were only just looking upon the fields all around. There was a revival in process. We'll read in Matthew chapter 10, and in chapter 9, I beg your pardon, and in verse 36, now listen carefully, the time note and the factor that is involved here. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases, and so on and so on and so on. Join in the revival. And this they did. And it was a marvelous time. But you see, he'd been sent for those 3 years unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they only thought he was a prophet. As brother said, the woman at the well, Jesus was waiting for her. She didn't know it was Jesus. He was just a prophet to her. He was another of the great long line of Hebrew prophets We know, of course, he was the Son of God and still is. But they didn't know that then. They were enjoying this tremendous move of the Spirit of God over their land. It was wonderful. And that's the way it should go. You know, Norman made reference, we're being reminiscent tonight, aren't we, to the beginnings over there in Liverpool and in the Wirral. Well, there are those here tonight, not just my own family, who remember the beginnings of it in Bradford, over in Yorkshire. Very thrilled to see some of our old dear friends, Brother Watson and his precious wife and daughter, and yes, all right, you're all here. Lovely. But they were there in the beginnings in Bradford. It was a marvelous thing. Well, now, I tell you, it's a thrill when you see all these things happening. Jack is here. We hope that she's going to talk to us at some time during the conference. Where lies the difference? There's the other end of this. We're looking on in John's Gospel, and I'm reading in John chapter 12. As soon as others than the lost sheep of the house of Israel came into view, Jesus said something different. He never changed his teaching, but you must always watch in your reading of the Bible that you don't get carried away by an enthusiastic idea, and note what it is that's happening. There is a revival going on in West Africa. Pray that the Lord will send laborers into that harvest. Bless God for those who've gone. It's like India. One could go to India and perhaps have 30,000 people all sitting round in the south of India, and thousands of them responding, but you only need to move north in that land, and you'll do very well if you can get 30 people coming along to a meeting. Same preacher, same preaching, same God, same gospel. So far as you know, you haven't deviated one iota from the revelation. What's the difference? In John chapter 12, it says this in verse 19. The Pharisees are talking. They're talking among themselves. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. It's always like this, you know, isn't it? When people aren't right with God, they're always blaming somebody else. The Pharisees said, you're not doing anything. You see, they didn't say, behold, we're not accomplishing anything. You see. When people aren't right with God, it's always, you're failing. You're the one that's in trouble. You're not doing it right, you see. This is how hypocritical they were. They even wore a mask when they looked at themselves. Leave alone Jesus Christ or the truth. Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. How prophetic can be the words of God haters? They really can. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I'd love to go on reading there. Here then is the end of the revival. It's not an enthusiastic nation running after their prophet, listening, being forgiven, being blessed, being helped. It's not just the near fields of the white or ready to harvest. It's the world now. Those people out there, they can't be reached that way. There's only one way. Down into the ground and die. There are two methods in this. One, the ideal method that's much written about in popular literature today, and I don't mean newspapers. That is that you have a church and it grows by expansion. You see, you get blessed in Benin City. I'm taking it as an illustration in the center here. Praise God for it. Nothing I say is to be misconstrued. That I'm not moving along the same line. I am, and perhaps I might go out to Nigeria and take part in it, but I want God to keep my perspectives right. And so they come in, they get blessed, we establish another church out here, that gets blessed, that gets 1,000 members, you send out somebody else, you see, and they keep moving out, as you see in the New Testament, and we can talk about New Testament missionary principles and so on and so on, we could all write volumes about it. But there's another method that isn't by the expansion method. It's a corn of wheat being picked up by Jesus and sowed in the Amazon basin. It isn't the gradual moving out till you've moved out to the edge of the world. Say, oh, I mean, we can read that in the Bible, you know. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Well, it would be lovely. The steady expansion of the church until we engulf all England, we engulf all the civilized nations. I suppose we move over into France then. And I mean it with all my heart, and I could write a book on this. Very, very easy to do it. Then there's the other method. It takes a soul, places it alone, right out there, where they don't come, where the culture is all different. Brave souls go and die. But they become the roots of it all. No fruit without roots. Thousands upon thousands of people flocking to Jesus, hearing him, hanging on his words. Not one soul regenerate. Not one. I'm not saying there aren't any regenerate souls in Nigeria. Please don't misunderstand what I say. The great thing, beloved, is that there is another law. And it swings on the two poles of it all. Now, as I've already warned, this is not to be taken as two methods of operation suited to two different types of temperament. The one, the ebullient outgoing, and the other one, the introspective thing that goes, because Jesus was neither of those. He was God's great man. Amen. And he knew it. And down into the ground he went and died. And this I will say, and you will agree with me, what a seed. That from it, beloved, has come our life. That we're here together tonight because Jesus did just that. Glory be to him. That this happens over and over and over again. Jesus said, if it die, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Except it die, it abideth alone. Amen. You know, I don't recommend many books for reading, except this one. But there are some books that I do recommend, and one is about a man called Fraser of Lisuland. Who's heard of J.O. Fraser? Not the vast majority, that's obvious. I guess you've all heard of a man named Carruthers, have you? Yeah. J.O. Fraser. Fraser of Lisuland, who went out there behind the Rangers, as the book is called, a lone man with God, and prayed and prayed and prayed, and into the ground and died. But it was the beginning of the works of God in Lisuland. That's the way it goes with God, beloved. And I want the Lord to get right hold of us. God will send out reapers. But beloved, there's no reapers if there's nobody to sow seed. Where does it all come from? There won't be any reaping except there be a seed that will fall into the ground and die. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I don't want anybody here to misconstrue that and say, well, I'm in some lonely place and I've been here for 25 years and nothing's happened. And say, well, now this is must be what's happening. What you and I have to know is that our meat must be to do the will of him that sends us, and we have to be where God wants us to be. We have to do what God wants us to do. But God grant that whether you be in the law of the seed that falls into the ground and die and produces its fruit through death, or whether you be one of these great reapers that go out and you reap in the sheaves, whatever it be, beloved, oh, be in God's hand. Be there. It's the sower that soweth the seed. And when he sows the seed, beloved, sometimes it falls into good ground and sometimes it falls upon upon stony ground, and sometimes it falls upon thorny ground, and sometimes it seems as though the very birds of the air have swallowed it up, and there's nothing doing at all. Only God knows. Not that we don't want great times of reaping we do, and we shall move into these great times together during these days. But we've already been warned about taking words on our lips. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, without meaning it. And I suppose that sometimes we've all had to check ourselves and say, well, did we really mean that? Or did we not? The Lord give us to act rightly, for God has no pleasure in the vows of a fool, says the writer to the Proverbs. And we need to move in on the solid ground of the knowledge and understanding of the right ways of God. Amen. So shall it be. For as we know, it's only by God's Spirit. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit that all is accomplished. Hallelujah. So then, having done that which I felt God laid on my heart to say, because I hadn't thought about it when I came into the room, but seeing the labors of some, just as full of the Holy Ghost, just moving as much in the will of God as I am able to judge, as others, and seeking to understand the way that God works. One says, oh Lord, oh Lord, I dare say that there are those of us here that know true spirit-filled men and women of God just as much in the Spirit of God as, say, people in Nigeria. Out there all alone, nothing seems to be doing. Maybe that if you start to water something with your tears, as well as shout and pierce the skies with your hallelujahs, something will really be accomplished for God. Amen. You know, it's as dear old Horace Banner said, who's gone to be with the Lord now, shall I go where the fish are biting? So easy to do that. Now may God make us his faithful people. Praise the name of the Lord. I think I've finished. Let's pray.